This is the Father Matters Show with your host, Vance Sims. Father Matters is committed to building stronger, healthier communities by supporting, encouraging, and enlightening today's fathers and families. And now, your host, Vance Sims.
Welcome to the Father Matters Show. I'm your host, Vance Sims. Thank you for joining us. And just like I knew, we got a ton of emails, ton of phone calls. Yes, Dr. McKee is here again this week. Thank you for reaching out to us. Jeremy, what I'm thinking about doing is just getting into the commercial break now so we can just flow. What do you think about that, man?
I like it. We had a great show last week. We have a great guest. Let's get as much time and as much as we can get in. I love it.
I mean, for Dr. Jeff to come back one more week again, and just as we were starting to get deep, we had to cut to that break. So let's get that out of the way and come back, and let's finish up this with Dr. Jeff McKee, founder of CrossCultureDynamics.com.
Do you love the Father Matters Show? Did you know you can find us on Facebook or fathermatters.org? Or if you miss us Saturday night, you can find us on blogtalk.com or soundcloud.com. And if you want to contact us directly, you can always call 602-774-3298. That's 602-774-3298 for Father Matters.
Welcome back to the Father Matters Show. If you have not yet partnered with Father Matters, would you please consider becoming a Father Matters partner? The Father Matters Show is listener supported, and all Father Matters programs and services are free to the community because of your generous donations. For more information about donating to Father Matters, log on to fathermatters.org and click the Donate to Father Matters icon. Dr. Jeff, just before we had to end the show last week, I was telling you about how my son has all these friends of all cultures and backgrounds, from sports to Cub Scouts. And when I'm watching them, man, just hanging out and playing, they're not worried about what color somebody is, what background status they are, what kind of car their mom or dad drive. Bro, they're just about saying, let's go have fun. What happens when we become adults?
Well, what happens is we start listening to everyone else.
And following
people. We start, listening to a lot of social media, watching the news. So we start developing these biases, these stereotypes towards people that are different from us. And it's not just a black and white thing too, right? Because when we talk about culture, we're just not talking about race. There's gender, right? There's religious, there's ethnic, there's different types of cultures out there that are being marginalized here in this country. So because of that, from a kid, like you said, kids don't care. They just, as long as you can play with them, that's all that matters. But we start listening to people, our parents. Unfortunately, a lot of this comes from our families, from our parents, our friends, that start influencing
it's,
our decisions.
It's those people. It's those folks.
Those folks over there. So that's where it starts. And that's where, we try to go back in and fix that, we'll call it.
It's sad, man, because, me having friends of all different races growing up, I think I'm originally from Baltimore. So when I was younger, my mom moved me to San Jose, California. Actually, we were Santa Clara, California first. Then we moved to San Jose. But my best education in sixth grade, Jeff, and my best life experience, my friend, was moving out of an all-black neighborhood in Baltimore, a little place called Catonsville, Maryland, to Santa Clara. I didn't know what a Samoan was. I didn't know what a Filipino was. I didn't know. And to be invited into these cultures, from the foods to how their family is raised, how their parents parent, to their style of dress, to their culture. And to be able, as I got older, to be able to adjust myself to different cultures.
Yep.
I mean, it is such a awesome and powerful education, man. And to meet some of my sons and my daughters' parents, you can see where they get some of their traits from. And just to be open, man.
Yeah. And I think what you just said, what we talked about last week, we talked about going and being a part of a community. So by you going to Santa Clara, now you are exposed to different cultures, different people. So now you're exposed to food, languages, different ways of belief. And you can go in with an open mind and learn, right? And then now your son has all these wonderful experiences that he can tap into, these different cultures now that he can tap into.
Man, when I'm, look here, brother, coming from Baltimore, it's like you eat, you know, my mom or my grandfather who was raised me at times, or that Black culture on that East Coast is like, you know, we're going to have some breakfast, 10 o'clock on a Saturday or whatever. Okay, I'm just using an example. To go to a friend's house, man, one of my white friends, and I'm sitting there, it's about like 11:30, 12 o'clock, and the mom knocks on his bedroom door. Back then, we was playing Atari.
Right.
She pops in. She goes, "Vance, would you like to stay for lunch?"
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Lunch? Like, I mean, what?
With lunch?"
I'm like, "Yeah, man." She made some bologna sandwiches, man, some chips, and had some little drinks out there. But it was breakfast in the morning. It was lunch.
Yeah.
You know, snack later on. I'm like, I like it over. But I'm saying that, and I'm not saying that Black folks don't do that or Mexican.
Right, right.
What I'm saying is that was the first time like I experienced it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of a structure or order. And guess what, man? During the summer, my kids, we get lunch.
Right.
You know, with my wife, we make something. What I'm saying is how we can invite different things from different cultures and races.
Exactly. Exactly.
You see what I mean?
And that's exactly what it is. And I go back to it. You go in and you learn
from
a different culture by being a part of it.
Right.
You can't learn from sitting on a computer, Googling, you know, Black culture or, you know, Hispanic culture or something like that. You have to be engaged in it. Right?
Well, when I'm giggling because I'm talking about my best friend, Wayne, man. We've been best friends, man. We both just hit 50 over the summer. We've been best friends since 12. He's white. And I remember when he started coming over to my house, my mom was making these little East Coast meal, chip beef breakfast stuff. You use it with milk. It's chip beef with toast. And he was going home like, "Mom, I want some chip beef." His mom was like, "What? What is that?"
Right, right.
You see what I'm saying? But he's going back liking that soul food.
Right.
Just the how we're doing this.
Right.
You know, we've got to cut this out, man, because we're missing out on so much. Following people because someone might have had a bad experience. Look, bro, I have bad experiences with Black folks, yeah.
Exactly. Dr. Jeff. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we need to stop all this. You know, I got cut off. It was a white guy who cut me off in my car.
Right.
It was a Hispanic person who, whatever. Why can't we just say it was a person that it was a guy who did that?
Because I think about that all the time. I'm glad you brought that up because if you look at news outlets, they do that too. It's a Black person that committed this crime. It's a white person that did this. It's a Hispanic.
Or it was a guy in his early 30s. Committed this crime.
Right.
But then if it's a Black, it was a Hispanic guy or a Black guy in his 30s.
In his 30s, right. So, again, it goes back to perpetuating and keeping a stereotype going, mm-hmm. right? And that's kind of the very definition of stereotype. It's like it's a fixed image, right? So in order to have this fixed image, you have to keep it going, right? And it's not right at all. And I always say, why can't we all just be a human being?
Right.
At the end of the day, that's all we are. That's what we have in common. We're all human beings, right? We all breathe oxygen, right? If we can come to a point to say, okay, we're all human beings, we all breathe oxygen, then guess what? We can start learning from one another, right? We can start experiencing these different foods like you're talking about, right? I've eaten so many different foods, Egyptian food, Armenian food, you know, food from Russia. It's just, if I was just in my bubble,
right,
just around Black people, and that's all I ate was food that Black people make. Right,
if and I'm only listen to music,
I'm making
the
generalization here, right?
Right.
So I'm going to miss out on all this other stuff, right? And me, I like to eat, so having exposure to these other cultures and other foods, and then learning about how people believe and what people do, I love that. It's fascinating to me.
Man, a couple years ago, about 2 years ago, my son was in second grade. He did a sleepover with his friend. And the mom sent them home with like a little snack thing. And in this snack thing was this cream stuff, and you eat it with crackers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "Dad, check this out. You're going to love this. You're going to." I said, "Well, I don't even know what that stuff looked like. Get out of here with that stuff."
Mm-hmm.
But you know what, man? I cracked the lid when he was in his room, and I dipped the cracker in. And, brother, my taste buds just jumped for joy. And guess what it was, bro? It was hummus.
Hummus.
Because his friend's family is Jewish.
Mm.
Okay?
Okay.
Brother, from that day on, he's in the fourth grade now. From second grade, we keep hummus in our house and crackers, bro.
Right.
Boy, hummus is humming good delicious.
It is good.
Go ahead, Jeremy. What you saying? What you? I see you nodding over there.
I'm all about the hummus. Yeah, you are speaking my language. But, I mean, not only you learn so much. Just for instance, we had somebody, a lady, she was from Puerto Rico, and they use both last names. So in their culture, you get the mom's name and the dad's name. Dad's name first, mom's name second.
Wow.
But it's just so interesting how you can see those things. You start to see, like, oh, it's kind of cool that she has such a strong relationship with her parents and her siblings. And then it makes you think about that, too. Like, you know what? I want to call my brother. I want to call my sister.
Yeah,
and those things kind of bleed over as well. And it's all about sharing and being a part of something.
Right. That's powerful. It is. That's powerful. Jeff, because you do speaking engagements, you do training, bro. You're available to go all around the country?
I'll go anywhere.
How? Because people who didn't really hear the show, they just, I want his contact info. We're going to do it again at the end of the show, but just real quick, plug, how can people get in touch with you?
People can get in touch with me by just going to my website, www.crosscultureldynamics.com. Dynamics is with an S.
Okay.
Scroll to the bottom of the screen. You'll see a little portion of the website. Put your information in, hit the submit button, and then I'll receive it.
Yeah, and because it's powerful, because as much as early last week's show and a little bit of the show, we was talking about all kind of the negative that's blowing up about cultures and races. Also, brother, I've been hearing a lot from agencies and organizations all around the country who it's blown up because people want, like, services that you provide. They want to do something about it.
Absolutely.
So, yes, a lot of people on one side are saying, oh, these minorities or these folks are doing these white folks, all that stuff. But on the other side, people is like, hey, man, let's get together. Let's apply for grants together. Hey, man, let's let my audience come speak to your audience. Tell us a little bit about your developmental training that you do, that you provide, Jeff.
Yes, my developmental training, what I'll do is we'll go into your organization and we'll sit down with your leadership and discuss specifically what some of the issues are. Or if there is no issues, then what are your objectives, right? So we go in and we develop a comprehensive plan. We develop curricula for each nonprofit, business, faith-based organization.
Right.
So everything is unique that we create, specific to your organization. So from that, the leadership, our leadership on my end, we'll sit down, we'll agree on some specific objectives, and then we'll go through some trainings. And trainings are usually incorporate the leadership within that organization because it has to start at the top. There needs to be buy-in from all the way up to the top, the CEO, executive director, director of operations, some of those presidents in businesses, organizations. So we'll develop a plan specifically around your objectives issue, and we'll come in, do some training, and increase your awareness, increase communication cross-culturally,
right.
And then we'll just keep it moving.
I love what you just said from the top. It made me think of Starbucks. Remember that a few months ago? Remember that, Jeremy, the Starbucks incident?
Yep.
When I guess it was a person that worked there didn't allow the two black guys. Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Yep.
One of the guys used the restroom.
Right.
Okay. So I'm looking at this. Out of the hundreds, chains, or thousands, I don't know, of Starbucks across this country, you narrow down on one Starbucks, one employee that works for this massive agency,
right?
Who did what he done for whatever reason he needed to do. Now, Starbucks across the country was getting a bad rap. But you know what? You know who stepped up? The CEO.
The CEO.
Now that he stepped up and say, look, so this won't happen again, the best of my ability, you know, I'm way out in Seattle. This happened way on the East Coast. What can we do? This dude is getting grief for trying to do something. And he got grief from both sides, Jeff.
Yeah.
Because you got the minority saying, oh, shutting down for 1 week, you can't solve that issue. Okay, and then on the other side is, why shut down for a week to address this thing?
Right.
So now it's like he was going against the norm.
Right.
He spoke up.
He spoke up. And I had tremendous respect for that CEO. I can't remember what the name is, but I had tremendous respect for him that he would shut down Starbucks for, I think it was a day or
was it a
week,
day?
I think of the day, something like that, or a week. But he shut it down. And the first thing that popped in my head was he's losing money on this.
Profit.
He's losing money
because
he shut down Starbucks across the country. So I took my hat off to him because he is trying to engage. He's trying to lean in, and he's trying to solve an issue. yes, it's an issue that's been in this country for hundreds of years, and it's not going to get solved in a day, and it's not going to get solved in a week.
Right.
But I respect the fact that he started, and that's the key. You have to start somewhere, right? My grandma used to always say, you can't finish a race unless you start it.
That's right.
Right? So starting, this is the starting point for Starbucks. There's many organizations out there like Starbucks who need this training, these developmental competencies, who need to understand how to engage the other, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to meeting a lot of these leaders in these organizations.
I love what you said. A lot of agencies and programs and organizations need this training that mm-hmm. Starbucks was, you know, pursuing to do. But people need to realize a lot of these agency organizations and mom and pop groups stole Starbucks' concept yep. of customer service, Dr. Right. Jeff, of how to run a business.
Right.
You
right.
see what I mean? So let's. So for one hand, on one hand, people are stealing their concepts and ideas.
Right.
Okay. And now, oh, one person, one particular Starbucks. Let's go across the board, and then you ended up hearing more. I think something else happened in L.A. and something right. else happened, brother. That I
see what you're saying. Yeah. So it's being proactive, right, rather than reactive. And or Starbucks clearly was reactive in this state, but. These organizations that have not tuned in or had buy-in or trying to raise awareness within their organization, they need to take a proactive state, because as this country becomes more and more diversified, mm-hmm. you're going to see more and more issues like this unfortunately
right.
happen
right.
in different organizations. And it doesn't matter what type of organization you have
right.
because no one's shielded from this, right? It starts all the way at the top. You look at what's going on in the White House, all the way down to the smallest mom and pop shop here in America.
To people road raging on the freeway.
Exactly, exactly. And it turns into a race thing, and then we didn't even get into the LGBT community at
well,
all.
Well, we got about, what, Jeremy, 5, 6, 7, 3 minutes? Well, I want to hear about the LGBT
community, right? So, the LGBT stands for lesbians, gays, bisexual,
absolutely.
Transgender, right? So that's a culture right there of its own that's being discriminated against, that's being marginalized against.
Still
to this day.
Well, unpack it.
So what happens there is, again, I go back to what we talked about earlier,
mm-hmm.
human beings, breathing oxygen, we're all the same people, right?
Mm-hmm.
You heard that thing, we all bleed the same color. Right? We're all human beings. Whether your sexual orientation or preference is one way or mm-hmm. another does not mean that you're better than that person at all.
That's right. Right?
And same, I put that in the same category as race, religion, right? Here in America, we have an issue with Muslims, the Muslim population, just because they are Muslims. We actually call them Muslim. No one ever calls me and labels me Christian.
Right.
They call I get labeled a different way. Mm-hmm. You get labeled a different
right.
way. So why are we labeling people by religion? Mm-hmm. Right. Why are we labeling? So we throw all these adjectives and all these names that we're giving people without right. getting to know people right. personally and individually.
And then so we don't get off. Let's go back to the gay community. My 13-year-old daughter, man, she has a gay friend. Mm-hmm. That's a boy and a gay friend. That's a girl. They're in the music band and all that. And I'm so proud of my daughter, Jeff, mm-hmm. because not only each of them are a different race than from her, the boy is gay and the girl is gay, okay? And she hangs with them. She talks to them. She does a little something. And I'm proud of her because she's not worried about what people say or may say. And then it doesn't bother her that that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
Do you understand what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because she's in the eighth grade, man, and I'm proud of her, especially with all the social media crap that's out, and
right.
kids are talking and texting me, honey, what's that, Snapchatting
Snapchat
about who's wearing what, the clothes right. the school, silly, simple, ignorant stuff, man.
Right.
Go ahead, Jay, I see you nodding. Go ahead and bring on that, man.
Yeah, the Instagram stuff, but you know what? You made me think of something, too, just about like solutions, and we were talking about the Starbucks guy. I believe his name is Kevin Johnson. Does that sound right?
That sounds about right, yeah.
I think that is.
Yep.
So the one thing made me think, okay, so let's go back to the kneeling. There was a group of players who were kneeling, and then they found out that, hey, some of the veterans don't like that. So what they did is like, all right, we're going to kneel, but we'd like to put our hand over our heart to say, hey, guys, nothing to do with you. We love you. We support you. But there's another thing going on. Also got backlash. It's like, I wonder, is compromise dead? Is there any way that we can get past this wall versus wall? We're breakdown walls. Let's just talk here. We're trying to do the right thing, but you won't even let people do the right thing.
There's no freedom of expression anymore.
Yes.
Right. And I love how you said they tried to compromise there, but that goes back to what we talked about before. Once you start bucking against the norm, if you don't do what the norm says, what the privileged folks in this country have said to do, if you don't do that, there's an issue. And
a consequence.
And a consequence to that, right? People, look at Kaepernick. He cannot get employed because he's standing up for injustices, right?
That's turned into he's disrespecting the flag.
Eric Reed, I think he's another NFL player who cannot get hired because he's quote-unquote disrespecting the flag, disrespecting the military. Right. It's amazing.
It is. It's just, it's beyond.
You also do, Dr. Jeff, a small group series. So you are available for one-on-one coaching, small groups, developmental training. Are you willing to work with churches as well?
Absolutely.
Man, churches need to. I heard the most segregated time and day of the week is 11 a.m. Sunday morning.
Yep. Dr. Martin Luther King said that.
How about that? Absolutely. Now, how about. About the churches.
Churches, and if I could say anything is my specialty, that's my specialty is churches. I've been in Christian faith my entire life. So what I do with churches is we incorporate the Bible into this curriculum. So we don't say just what we say. We say, what does the Bible say?
Right.
Regarding these issues, right? So we work with churches all the time. The small group series is pretty much going towards our church-based clientele. So what we do is we have a curricula that we've developed that we discuss scriptures, we discuss some of the curriculum, and mm-hmm. we bring them both together to see how we can not only just serve our congregation, but how can we serve other people as we're going out into the communities. Churches and nonprofits, they all have mission statements that mm-hmm. they are truly behind, right? Mm-hmm. For-profits do too, but churches and businesses, like that's their lifeblood, is their right. mission statement. So how do we take this mission statement of the church? How do we take the mission statement of your nonprofit? Tie this into your beliefs. Tie this into the curriculum that we are that we develop for you. And how can we make your organization, your church group, more effective?
Absolutely.
How can we increase in collaboration? How can we increase your numbers, right? Let's just be honest. Nonprofit, church group, you want numbers. You want people. Okay, we'll help you do that. You have to learn how to diversify yourself, learn some competencies. Mm-hmm. That way you can serve your clientele better.
That's so powerful. And the small group. So tell us a little bit about the small group workshops.
Yeah, small group and even the developmental training. So, but more so the small group. Our training series, what we do is we're very interactive. Mm-hmm. So we're not going there just preaching and teaching to you. It's very interactive. We learn from each other. Right. And that, me personally, my doctoral program, I learned from my peers more than I did the handbooks and the textbooks that we were given. So in our small group series, it can be 4 to 6 weeks long. And we come in and we'll facilitate these the curriculum. And we have a lot of interactive activities that are very powerful, fun. They're engaging. But people are walking away with their minds just blown.
Right.
Having a new understanding of life. Seeing themselves in a different light too, and just being open and honest with each other. So our small group series and our developmental trainings mm-hmm. are pretty much our main points of training and communicating with different organizations.
I like what you say on your website. Building cross-cultural understandings is not just about instruction, but providing leaders and teams a framework for true collaborative processes and practices. Why do you say that?
So that goes back to, so we can sit in the classroom all the time and learn. And you can say, yes, I understand this material, right? But if you don't put it into practice and put action behind it, you might as well not even come to a training. It's a waste of your time. It's a waste of my time. It's a waste of money, right? So what we do is we give a framework. We tell people, okay, here's what you need to do, right? In conjunction with you, because again, we can't tell you what to do, and we're not just going to throw something on you. You have to be in on this decision too. Right. You have to agree that you want to move to more action steps in this. So We're going to give you the framework. We'll help you develop that. So now you can start seeing some collaborative processes and practices coming through.
One more time, Dr. Jeff, where can our listeners go to learn more? You got a Facebook page?
I got a Facebook page. I'm going to post it.
Okay.
It's been on my to-do list. I haven't done it yet.
Well, we'll reach out for it. But how can they get in touch with you one more time?
They can get in touch with me. Go to my website, www.crossculturaldynamics.com. Scroll to the bottom, fill out your information, hit submit, and I'll get back to you.
Dr. Jeff McGee, thank you for coming back 2 weeks in a row.
Thanks for having me.
Man.
I really appreciate it.
And thank you for tuning into the Father Matters Show. Send us your questions or comments to info@fathermatters.org. Thank you to my engineer, Jeremy Siegel. See you next week at the same time, same place. Have a safe week. Thank you, and God bless.